we're talking. You got it, Keith. I knew that you'd get in there for the talking bit.
How long did...
A lot of preparation went into pulling that off.
Can we do it again? Can we try it again?
No.
Now
we can't.
Over?
I'm going to punish you by making you wait until next week.
Next week.
That's amazing.
Oh.
We wanted to treat you folks with something new there, and we basically gave it to you. The show is Now We're Talking, just to be clear. I'm Jeff, your host. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. In the studio with me is Keith. Sometimes we speak in a synchronized fashion. Sometimes we don't. We got halfway there on that.
Yep, halfway.
So before the show, we said, what's an interesting way we could start the show? Why don't we emphasize the fact that we are talking by saying it together? And I kind of stared at you and said it and took a big breath. Mm-hmm. It was very deliberate.
It was really easy.
What happened for you there?
I didn't get the eye contact this time.
You didn't.
That's my way of passing the buck.
You're needing more eye contact.
Yeah.
So like, rather than looking at you, I should be looking through you.
Yeah, like a karate punch.
Okay, well, I can try that for next
That's
time.
That's what I need.
So folks, on the show this week, our guest is Jennifer Bradley. And Jen is a friend of mine. She's a voiceover actress. Keith, you've met Jen before.
I have met Jen before.
And she does any number of things. She's a singer. She's an actress. I don't know if you know this, Keith, but she's a British sign language interpreter. That's one of the things she's pursuing right now back in England. And she used to live here in Vancouver, but she relocated back to London a couple of years ago. And I interviewed her today about her experience doing voiceover over there. You have some experience doing voiceover, don't you?
Yeah, I have a little bit.
I think it was last year.
Yep.
There was an opportunity for an audition for by a beer commercial or something, was it?
Yeah, I can't remember what it was.
I think it was a beer commercial, and they needed a Newfie accent.
Yeah, it was Old Man Winter was the character.
Okay, so I was like, I got the guy.
But it was the Newfie Old Man Winter.
So you had the chance to go in the studio and to audition.
Yeah.
What was that experience like?
It was great. Did the listeners know I'm from Newfoundland? I don't know if we ever talked about
that.
They
might not, actually. So maybe we should give a little
bit
of context.
Let's keep it a secret.
The cat's out of the bag. When did you move from Newfoundland? When you were 13?
Yeah, I was 13 years old.
13 to Victoria. Yeah. So you grew up, obviously, with the accent. Did you have to what extent was it a quote-unquote thick Newfie accent?
It's hard to say because there's a lot of different dialects in Newfoundland, and where my mother's from is different than where my father's from and
right.
all that kind of stuff. So I think it was pretty thick.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you came to Victoria, did people point it out?
Well, one of the things that...
Because I've never known you to really have one, I guess. That's why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, one of the things
I've never known you to have the accent.
Very distinct about Newfoundlanders, at least all the ones I've ever met, is that we talk very fast.
Right, that you do.
And that was probably more relevant. So when I came here, besides like being made fun of a little bit for being a Newfie in the first place, people just didn't understand what I was saying. And so I ended up dropping the accent so people would understand me better. And whether that was the accent or the speed... I'm not sure. I still talk pretty fast sometimes.
You definitely talk fast. That's a given, and that's always been there, and that's as true as ever. Mm-hmm. But even when usually the word car is a tip off for East people that live in the Maritimes.
Yeah,
and I don't even know that you have that.
I do a little bit. It's like any
Let's
accent
hear it.
Where you lose it. You regain it if you're passionate or something.
But I feel like that word...
Car?
Yeah, car. I feel like that word, from my experience knowing people who the accent has been reduced, is the way back into the accent.
Yeah.
That's, like somebody that you otherwise wouldn't recognize where they're from. You hear it. But for you, when you say it, I don't hear it. So what was it? Was there a
car,
there a deliberate effort to lose the accent?
Yeah, for sure.
And what was it? How does one change their accent?
Yeah, well, the way I did, like I said, I had an in. I'm not sure how other people do, but because, again, speed was so relevant, I just slowed down the way I was speaking.
Mm-hmm.
And so by doing this and being very formal with my speech and putting my hand in the air between us like I'm doing right now.
Yeah, in a chopping fashion.
Yeah, just that's...
Chop.
Yeah.
Chop.
There it is. One more.
Chop.
Yeah. Yeah, so that was just slowing it down. It kind of went away on its own. And I don't know what I have now.
So there was
Do I have
no,
a West Coast accent?
I don't. There was no emulating of somebody else.
No, it was just talking as slowly as I could, which was still normal speed to most people.
Right.
And
no deliberate, conscious effort to change the vowel sounds. Just you focused on the speed and the tempo.
Yep.
And the rest took care of itself. It's interesting because when I talked to Jen, she spoke about a tendency she's always had to mimic people, and it's a very conscious thing. She even described her experience as a singer. for example, was emulating what she heard and singing like that person. And
oh, and that's how she did the accent.
Yeah, and so it's interesting to hear how people do it in different ways. But yeah. We got off track here because we were talking about your experience auditioning.
Oh, right.
For this voiceover commercial ad. I think it was a beer commercial or some such thing. But anyway,
yes.
They wanted the Newfie accent, and you thought, I know how to do that.
I know how to do it, yeah.
Okay.
And so, it was really fun. I'd never done it before, and I'd always thought I could maybe do it, having a voice for radio, as they say.
Mm-hmm.
People had suggested it before, but I took that with a grain of salt.
Sure.
Because I'm so useless at everything, I figured they're just trying to make me feel good. Maybe that's your thing.
But it is a mysterious thing, voiceover.
Yeah.
Everybody's heard it when you listen to the radio or when you watch commercials, trailers, there's people doing that. And I think a lot of people might think they're able to do it, but they're not sure what it's like when they're in that situation.
Yeah.
And so, but it went well for you, didn't it?
Yeah, it did. I mean, I went in, the people were friendly enough. And I guess what it was I was a specialty act, right? Like, a specialty act a thing?
Sure.
Did I just make up a thing?
No, you were a specialty act.
I was, Jeff.
Yeah.
A specialty act.
Yeah.
So I was going in there to be a newfie. Mm-hmm. And that was something that I had some experience doing. So I just read it a bunch of different ways, and it was a really great experience. I think the way people want their first time to go, where they give you feedback and then you do it and then they laugh and they seem to think everyone's having a good time. They seem to think that you're doing well.
So lots of positive reinforcement.
Yeah.
You didn't feel like a fraud.
No.
Nobody was like, why is this guy here?
Yeah, I mean, put people laughing in front of me and in front of anyone, and you get very comfortable very quickly.
And I think you ultimately didn't get that spot, but you had reason to believe that you
were... I don't want to talk about that part, Jeff.
But despite the fact you didn't get it, and it's very competitive, you had reason to believe that you were shortlisted,
I think. Well, they actually said that to me while I was there. They said, you've got as good a chance as anybody.
So you were a real contender.
Yeah.
And that must have left you thinking, well, maybe this is a thing I can do. So you went
I thought, I'm a star, was what I thought. I think I actually might have said it to them.
I found something.
Yeah, and I pointed to the back of my jersey,
which had a star on it
with my name,
a huge, like,
this guy,
glimmering star with LED lights that you actually had to plug in when you were in the studio. You're like, hold on a second, before I do my take, can I just plug in my star jacket?
Sorry, in case you don't understand, I'm a star.
Yeah, just so you fully understand. Is it okay if I have my back to the microphone so that you can see my glimmering star?
Do you have a European style outlet?
Yeah. So what happened? You had a subsequent audition. What happened with that?
Oh, we don't have to talk about that.
Oh, yeah, we do. Yeah, we do, because I think it's instructive.
I guess because I was a specialty act
on
the first time, it was a little bit misleading how these things go. So the second time, I had to read with somebody.
And not as a newfie. Not using the special skill.
Not at all.
Did you go into this audition recognizing this might be different because I'm not the specialty act guy?
Yeah.
Or were you feeling like, I've got this?
I think we mentioned this before, that I was a star at that point.
Okay.
I decided. So no, I thought killing it all day, Keith. And I just
but did you
walked
really
right
did
in.
You really go in there with a sort of sense of assuredness?
Yeah, I did. I think because I've acted before as a youth.
Okay.
I've acted, and so I thought, this is a script. Learn the lines.
Yeah.
And then I got there, and I could hear the guy in the booth, the first guy,
and somebody else auditioning.
Someone else auditioning, and he was amazing.
He had that voice.
Yeah, he had that voice, and he came out, and he was wearing like a scarf, like an aviator. And I think he started his biplane up when he got outside.
Oh, my God.
And I just thought, this is not going to go well. So I ended up having to read with somebody, which was not something I'd done before.
And that's rare from my experience, too, to be reading with somebody. Usually
I've
just
heard
do
that.
It alone.
Yeah, and so the issue there, I think, was compatibility, because what I was a sort of a natural guy. If I had any talent at all, it was because I just wasn't thinking too hard.
Right.
I didn't put on a voice.
Right.
I don't sound like this normally. Like, this is how I actually sound, right?
Yeah.
And so when we went in there, I don't know her, and I'm not trying to be disparaging to this woman that I read with, but she was reading it like she was reading something.
Right.
Do you know what I mean?
Well, that's interesting, because just to highlight a key point here, there's been a process by which voiceover has moved from the announcery thing into the more naturalistic thing. So this idea that if you're sort of green and you're just being yourself could actually work to your advantage, but it's hilarious to see you paired with somebody who's doing the more affected thing, because
it's hard to play with each other. It's generational. I mean, she was like a baby boomer and I was a millennial. Like, we weren't even speaking the same language. And so my natural approach, I think, started to sound very flat to the people in the booth.
Sure.
So they would stop and they would tell her she was doing a good job, and then they would give me a note. And then within my very small range of skill that I have for this, I would attempt to do that.
And how many takes did you get? How many takes?
Like 4 or 5.
That's a lot.
I'd say probably 3 times they stopped to give me a note. And there were notes, like really troubling notes, like, try to sound more alive.
Are you joking?
Or you're not, I'm not joking. Or like, I don't think they said morose, but it was something close to that. Like, maybe not so sullen. She was like a 50s housewife mom.
Sure.
Like she was bright, really effusive. Laying into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess what it sounded like was something like, oh dear, would you like to deal with this product? I was like, yeah. That sounds like a good product.
And were they getting annoyed with you?
No, but what happened, of course, was that the star power flitted away into the dark, dark night, I realized that it was possible that I wasn't good at this.
These thoughts going through your head as you were
auditioning? Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
When I walked in the door, I had
They're like, can we plug your jacket in for you, Mr. Kennedy?
Exactly. Like, I expected, like, pizza and, like, selection of waters.
Yeah.
And instead, I was just, like, sinking.
It was just the crust.
Yeah. It's just the crust.
Yeah.
Is that a pizza reference?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So they basically were polite and said, okay, thanks, see you next time.
Yeah. Well, there was a little bit more to it because I had been told by the agent that had sent me in there that I was going to be reading with a specific person.
Mm-hmm.
So then something else awkward happened where I felt this obligation the person I ended up reading with didn't have the name of the person I'd been told I was reading with.
Okay.
So then I created another awkward situation where I opened the door to the booth and I said, hey, do you guys need me to stick around and, like, read with the next person? Because I thought I had got there early or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And, of course, they didn't need that. They had paired people up and done it their own way. But because I'm so fledgling, I thought that maybe they needed my help.
Yeah, right.
So now, of course, I'm
thinking, a reader.
Yeah. And now I'm thinking, well, they just think that I'm trying to finagle my way into doing another take.
How did they respond to that?
Well, they were just like, no, we got it covered. You know, they didn't tell me to get the heck out or anything. But what was funny about the audition towards the end, which led to this awkwardness, was that they asked us to do, I can't remember the name of it, but it's a thing where they get you to do like a tagline,
mm-hmm.
and they get you to do it a couple of times.
Sure.
So they go like a
couple versions of it.
Yeah, so it's like you're auditioning for like housewife, house husband number two.
Yeah.
But apparently this woman has two husbands. It's the 50s. And
in Utah.
Yeah, everything was going really well. Middle class, lots of key parties. And so basically the guy says, say the tagline for the company. It's like, you know, Hostess Bread. Oh, we're going to get money for Hostess if I do that?
I don't think we'll get money. I think we'll actually be kicked off the
air. Oh, okay. I'll get in trouble?
For improperly endorsing a product.
Hostess Bread.
Hostess, right.
You know, it's the yummiest.
Yeah.
Or whatever. And they said, do it 3 different ways. And I went, Hostess Bread. It's the yummiest.
Oh, it's Hostess, though.
Hostess. Sorry. Yeah. Good note.
No wonder you didn't get the gig.
And then the second time I went, Hostess Bread. It's the yummiest. And 2 was all I had. And so the third one, I just did exactly the same way again. And she was like, all over the place. She was
Options.
Like, Hostess Bread, the yummiest.
Yeah.
And I just sounded again sullen or morose or uninterested.
And when each of these things happened, it kind of just crippled you further.
Yeah. Oh,
like
yeah.
You just like, you kept making choices, and you, as you were making them, you realized the limitation of it. And it culminated in you leaving the room saying, I can stick around.
Yeah,
and
if
they're
you
like,
want.
No, that's okay.
Yeah. I think even to put an extra little oomph on this, I think when I first came in, I asked them if they needed the accent. Because I thought maybe,
because I'm
a specialty act, that was what they were going to want.
That's funny. It was at the same studio as the previous audition.
Yeah. And I see. It was just one of the same guys. And so instead of going like, Hostess Bread or whatever, like I didn't give them anything. I was like, I'm a newfie or nothing. This is what you get.
And then you went to put your keys into your biplane and realized you didn't have one.
Like I took my biplane.
Oh, man.
Mm-hmm.
That's
He was handsome too, which doesn't help.
I think the experience that you had is probably true for anybody who does it for the first time or the first couple of times.
Yeah.
It reminds me of stand-up comedy.
I had a false positive.
Yeah, you did. Well, that's true of stand-up comedy. You hear about people where it's actually dangerous if one of their first sets or their first set is a very good one.
Right.
Because they're under the misapprehension that it's easy.
Yeah.
And then they find out that it's not.
Yeah, then it's five more years of torture just to get paid once.
Yeah. Which really is an endorsement for just leaving on a high note if you try anything in life once and do it well. Rather than saying, this is exciting, I should keep it up.
Mm-hmm.
No. you should walk away and quit while you're ahead.
Yeah, that could just be your whole life.
Yeah.
Just do every single thing once.
Yeah. Well, this is interesting, coming back to the conversation with Jen, because when I spoke to her, as I say, she's relocated back to England. She is English. She spent most of her life there. She lived in Canada for several years. She's now back in England. So she speaks with an English accent.
Mm-hmm.
What's happened for her over there is she's managed to get a lot of work doing American commercials. I'm not sure how that works or why that is, but long story short, she's settled into that niche. And she's kind of painted herself into a corner, because what's happened is, in the interest of, put it this way, it's like, if you go in there with an English accent and say you do a great American accent, the people there might be skeptical of
right.
that. And
yeah,
it
yeah.
plants a seed in their mind that mm-hmm. you're actually
they
a
can
Brit
judge, yeah.
doing your version of American accent. Mm-hmm. And that can be distracting. And even if you do the accent well, they'll sort of hear it in a different way.
Yeah, it's like handing someone a manuscript and saying, I wrote a book, or handing them a book off of a shelf.
Yes.
They take it very differently.
Yeah, exactly. It's perception, right? Yeah. And that can affect how you hear things. And I think she realized that from previous experience. And somehow she ended up in various scenarios wherein... It almost sounds like a sitcom or something.
Oh, totally.
She ended up in a situation where it was just easier when she said hello and introduced herself.
American.
Just to be American rather than make that switch and have a conversation. Where are you from? So she just sort of started doing that, and it really took off. So it's now to the point where when her agent sends her out, like the ostensibly she is an American, but what's happening is she's having conversations with these people socially, and she's kind of having to stay, she's kind of caught in a lie a little bit.
Her specialty act has bloomed into something much more terrible.
That's right. So we talked about a few things, but in the portion of the interview that we're going to hear today, she specifically talked about how she tries to manage this. This is my interview this week with Jennifer Bradley, voiceover actress.
When I arrive for my auditions, like literally, or sometimes they have never met me before and they've just cast me off of my demo reel, which is the best. But like I'll go in, and as soon as I hit that reception desk, I have to be American. So I'm like, hey, my name's Jennifer Bradley. I'm here for Dove or something. And then they'll go and get someone to come and get me. And then I'll have to have this like full on dialogue with someone,
and will
which
they,
is so hard.
Will they, just in the interest of being polite and socially friendly, will they say, hey, so how long have you lived here for? Like, will those
yes.
conversations happen typically?
Yes, they haven't and happened a lot, but when they do, it's awkward.
If it was me, if I was working as an engineer or something and you had showed up for a session, I'd be like, hey, how's it going? So whereabouts are you from in the
mm-hmm.
States? They ask, and are you beginning to develop the script and the story? And if so, what's the story that's emerged? Where are you from? Like, what is the story that you've had to begin to construct?
Seattle.
You're from
because
Seattle.
It's close to Vancouver.
Close to Vancouver. In case they ask regional questions, you'll have a passing familiarity
yeah.
with the Pacific Northwest.
Yeah, that's what I've
and
got.
All of this information, did it happen like piecemeal, conversation by conversation,
oh, yeah.
or did you sit 100%. Down and say, right, I'm gonna write all this down and come
no.
up with my backstory?
No, every time I go in, another question is asked that I'm like, oh, God. And then I just, like, start making things up. But then that's usually when I start getting, like, things wrong. And then if they say, oh, that word sounds quite English, then I'm like, oh, it's because I've been here for a while. So
exactly. You can always just say, oh, I've kind of picked up the accent a little bit. You know, I work in voiceover, as you know. So you can see, that's a good way to pass it off. If I were you, that's a totally reasonable way to excuse little momentary lapses of tone
mm-hmm.
and the accent there. But I'd be more worried about getting caught in the lie of the details. So you're from Seattle. What else?
Oh, God. Well, what I say is that I grew up in England, like, and I was youngish, and then we moved over to America, and then I said that, you know, a lot of my work has been over in North America. I try and keep it as general as possible, like just keep North America, because then at least it doesn't feel like quite such a lie.
Keep it as broad as you possibly can, and also
exactly.
try to work with the truth. Like, your family did move
yeah.
to North America. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, and I'll just say that, you know, but it's always difficult when they say, okay, so we've got this word coming up. how would you say it as an American? You know, you just think, oh, no.
How would you say it as somebody who lived in Seattle for most of your life?
And so then I'm just like, and some words are so hard just to do on the fly. Like, if I've never said it before, it's so hard.
Well, there's
it's not, so hard.
Just as in the United Kingdom, in the States, there's many regional dialects. So when you're doing these spots, is there a generic American accent that they want and that's what you do?
Yeah,
or do they actually have you do like somebody from the South or from New York? Or is it just, you know, straight up typical, prototypical American?
It's straight up general American. I mean, I can, like, on my reel is like a Southern accent. And they have asked, it's weird, they've actually asked me for a Canadian accent before.
Really?
And I said, oh, that's good, because I spent some time in Canada as well. So there was this Dove commercial that I was just finishing off about 2 months ago. And it's going to be like a national spot for America and Canada. And they wanted the Canadian mom in there instead of being it was really weird. Or no, it was sorry, that's why, because it was like, because American is sorry and then Canadian is sorry,
right?
And it was just like a few different like
vowel sounds, some specific vowel differences.
It was just so weird because they're like, can you do Canadian as well? And I was like, oh yeah, I could do Canadian. I spent some time there as well. And they're like, wow, you're so well traveled. And I'm like,
Is there, what about, I'm just trying to think about, this is almost like a sitcom, you know, or like a farce. And I'm trying to think about like what would happen in the sitcom if this was going to play out. And my concern would be if you hit it off with somebody and there was like the possibility of hanging out socially. So if you like walk away and you know you're never going to see them again, you can leave. And okay, think, phew, I got through it. But what if you actually enjoy that person and want to pursue a friendship or something with them? Then I'm just like thinking, would this play out for the rest of your life? Like, what if you fall in love with one of these people? Have you thought about that?
Oh man, I hope that never happens, because I don't think I could break it.
Because not only
is, I just do it for the rest of my life.
You'd have to.
Because it would crush them. Because,
and you'd have to rely. By the way, you'd have to rely on the obscurity of this podcast as well.
I know, right?
Which I think we can both count on that. But you'd have to incentivize me if it was becoming less than obscure to bury it, just like Watergate.
Mm-hmm. No, it's weird because there's only one so far. There's been one casting director here in London that we got on really, really well. Not like I didn't want to go out with him socially or whatever, but like we got on really, really well. And it got to the point where I actually felt uncomfortable about lying anymore. So so we were talking and then I literally said, look, I just have to be honest with you. This is my natural accent. And I just switched into English and he was like, oh, and it was but it was after the gig. So I'd already done the gig. And I just needed to relax because we were just having a long conversation and literally my brain couldn't keep up anymore. So I was making more and more mistakes. And he was like, oh, wow. Okay. So are you actually English then? I said, yeah. And in fact, I lived in Canada. And like, literally, I felt like I was like telling him.
Confessing.
I was like confessing. And it was so weird because we had this like full conversation. He was like, wow, that's great. Anyway, he called me back a couple of months ago, and I obviously arrived, did the whole thing in like American blah blah, and he was like, I remember you, but this is before the gig, and so it was with like him and then there was like someone else in the booth. So, and he was like, I remember you, like we were talking to, weren't you doing like sign language or something, and didn't you live in Canada? And I was like, yeah, like Canada and America, yeah, both. And he's like, oh, and didn't you have a really convincing English accent? I was like, yeah. I feel like I should go to Seattle anyway to try and build out my story. Like, go walk around some streets.
We'll find out next time. Thanks, Jen.
No problem. Cheers.
And that's exactly how it happened. Isn't that hilarious?
Yes. It's funny because I don't think she's typically a liar.
No.
She's a very nice person.
Well, that's
a
something
story
we'll
about her lying.
Exactly. It is funny if you know her. She's a very, very sweet person and very much has that English accent.
Yeah.
But, she does the American thing really, really well. I remember, actually, one time we did a workshop together and there were a few other students and the teacher. And I think there was some skepticism, like I was saying before, about it when she indicated she had that ability. And then I just looked at people's expressions and it was almost as if they were disturbed that she was like that she had inhabited somebody was uh-huh. inhabited by somebody else or something.
Well, it's really smart. I mean, I don't know if I could pull it off. It takes a lot to pull that off. And you can tell even when she's talking about it that she feels this like sort of guilt over fooling even strangers.
Yeah.
But it's brilliant strategy.
Yeah.
It really
is. It's working.
Yeah. I mean, like I said, the analogy before about books, like it's if someone thinks it's professional, they're going to believe it. And authority, we've talked about this before, the people sense authority from someone,
mm-hmm.
they will just go with that.
Mm-hmm.
And you find out a lot of people aren't really experts about this stuff. They really do go on what you tell them.
It really does come down to whether or not she falls in love with one of these people. That's really, as long as she doesn't fall, and she does have a boyfriend, and I'm sure she loves him very much, and hopefully in the interest of their relationship and their happiness and her career,
mm-hmm.
I hope they can just make that relationship work, because if for some reason she fell in love with somebody, she would be caught in that situation
mm-hmm.
where at some point, would she tell them, would they not? Like it could be like, you know, at the end of their lives. She just
on her deathbed.
Yeah, on her deathbed. She loses track of it. And
she's like, blimey.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And that wouldn't be the first time that an English person died saying blimey.
No.
And that being somehow a big reveal.
Yeah. That's the most common.
You know, it can be a reveal for different reasons. But anyway, that's Jen Bradley. Thanks to her for the interview this week. And hopefully we'll get another chance to speak to her at greater length. You can find out more information about her at jennifercbradley.com. Jennifer C. Bradley, mm-hmm. like the letter C.
The letter C.
That's right. This episode has been sponsored this week.
Oh.
By Rory Updike.
Oh, yeah.
It's actually not this episode. It's the first half. We're pretty much coming up to the half of the hour. If you're just tuning in, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Jeff Bryant.
Yes.
The show is Now We're Talking. Keith Kennedy is in the studio.
That's me.
And we're pretty much, as I say, at the half of the hour. The first half of the show has been brought to you by area actor Rory Updike. And if you're a listener of the show, you'll remember that he actually he sponsored a portion of the show last week as well. We played a monologue that he'd recorded.
Mm-hmm.
And we have another spot from him this week. It's the latest.
Ooh.
In a series of monologues.
Brand new Rory Updike.
That Rory Updike is putting out there. And I believe, as we talked about last week, his goal is just to get the word out there. He is a local actor available for hire. As you'll hear in his performance, a great deal of gravitas. I don't think he has a lot going on right now. So I'm sure whatever the schedule is of your production, he'll have no difficulty making that work.
And now, a dramatic monologue featuring Rory Updike, which is me. I never learned how to read. I saw no value in it. Even from a young age, I realized literacy was of a bygone era. I've made my way through the world with limited effectiveness. For you see, the irony is, I cannot read my emails. On a daily basis, I look back and think, what was I thinking? In a way, it was brilliant for such a young boy to realize that computers are, in a sense, the future. But I didn't. How could I have anticipated the concept of email, which essentially still is text that one must read and compose, as it were? It's been a tough uphill battle ever since. I do the best I can. Of course, I'm an excellent monologuist. but I need to have somebody read the lines into my ear as I speak them. This is literally happening right now. It makes it difficult for me to strike out on my own. I have no ability to read text, and even my confidence with memorizing text, if I was able to read the text in the first instance, is severely compromised. It's very difficult for my confidence indeed. I'm Rory Updike. Please, hire me. Please.
So there it is, Keith. You can hear that he's available for work. As I said, I think his schedule is wide open. He is a sponsor of the show, and we want to acknowledge that and thank him for his contribution. And, you know, he's an actor.
You think he's okay?
It's hard to know whether he's okay or not.
Because of the music, right?
Because of the music. Mm-hmm. And also, this is the thing, and this is why I think he has so much potential. I think he was acting. I think that was acting.
Wow.
I don't know.
Do you think it's possible that he can read?
I you know, because I believe him when he speaks, I feel like he can't read.
You're having trouble separating the man from the art.
Yes.
Yeah, that's what that music does for him.
And part of me is thinking, my God, this guy is brilliant. This might be the last episode that he sponsors in part of our show, because he's not going to need
this
for much
help.
Longer. No. Now that the word's out there, he'll likely get hired and... He'll be the next George Clooney or something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
A voiceover.
A voiceover. Or the other part of me thinks there's something seriously wrong with Rory Updike.
Yeah, and he really needs money.
He needs money.
Probably
he needs
a place
support,
to live.
emotional support, a place to crash.
He needs one of those like touring showers.
Touring showers?
Yeah, it's a thing now where people bring showers to the homeless. It's a really nice thing that they do.
I'm sure that he's probably hasn't showered in a while.
Yeah.
There's so I don't know, but again, it's like all of this could just be a credit to his abilities as a thespian.
Yeah, well, let's go with that.
Should we go with that?
Yeah.
He's available, folks.
Yeah. Rory Updike.
Send us an email. Send us an email at nwtpod. Is that our email address?
Yes, it is, at gmail.
At gmail.com, yeah. Send us an email, and if you want to get in touch with Rory Updike, you do it through us.
Yeah.
That's how it works for the moment. If you're just tuning in, it's 101.9 FM at CITR. The show is Now We're Talking. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. Keith Kennedy is in the studio, as he always is. And I think it's that time, Keith. I think it's time for a little bit of Ask Keith Anything.
It's time for Ask Keith Anything. That's right, folks. You can fax it in. You can mail it in. You can give us a call. You could even send over a mule. As long as there's a question for Keith to answer, that's pretty much the deal. Go ahead and ask Keith anything, and he'll answer it to the best of his ability. It could be hilarious, it could be forlorn. Too soon to say. But here we go. This week's edition of Ask Keith Anything.
Yes, it is time for this week's edition of Ask Keith Anything. If you're a regular listener of the show, you'll know that Keith gets very excited.
This is my time.
When people ask him questions, you send us an email at nwtpod@gmail.com. One of these days, I'm going to know that email address with certainty. I think one of the reasons I don't know it with certainty is because nobody has sent us a message yet. So why not be the first?
Oh.
Be the first. If you're the first, here's what we'll do. If you are the first person to send us an email, what we will do moving forward is we will, every time we acknowledge that the email address is nwtpod@gmail.com, we'll say, you know, like so-and-so.
Right.
Used when they emailed us back.
Yeah,
you
get a shout out.
You'll get a shout out in perpetuity.
Yep, whatever that means.
Send us an email at nwtpod@gmail.com. Ask us questions for Keith.
Yeah.
He's going to answer them. This week's question comes from Tom in Kelowna.
Oh, nice.
Now, he didn't send us an email, but he sent Keith a direct message.
Through my contact form on the website.
No.
No.
There is no website. Oh, your website.
My website, yeah.
That's what he did. Yeah. I was going to say that he sent a direct message using the Twitter feed for the show, which is
is that where it came from? Oh,
NWT Podcast.
Right.
But I think you're right. I think it was in the contact form. That is another option. Anyway, let me read the question.
Okay.
And then you can answer it. Keith, I'm finding that I don't go to the movies anymore. I don't feel like there's any point. I don't need to go to the movies. Should I go to the movies anymore? What's the deal? Not a very eloquent phrasing, but that was the question. Keith, should Tom be going to the movies anymore?
Okay, should you go to the movies anymore? It's funny because my instinct is yes, of course, because there is magic. I don't know if there are movies that need to be seen in the theater anymore. Maybe big summer blockbusters or something, if you like that, if you like popcorn movies. I think the problem I'm having is that I go to the movies a lot still, but I've had a lot of trouble with people, especially the younger generation, how they treat the movie theater. I think it's just fun for a lot of people, and it should be. The movie theater should be fun. But there are some of us who want to not be distracted by your cell phone. And I get this real sense of injustice in me. Having gone to the movies my whole life and been a big fan, I really dislike that behavior. And so I find myself saying to my friends, I'm not going back to the theater. But I do, because I love it. And so I guess it's just a case of getting used to how that's going to work. I know that there's games in theaters for phones now, and they still encourage people to turn their phones off. But I want the new generation to understand that despite all of those reasons to be attached to the world, I get all of them, I am as well, there's some of us out there who still sort of treat it like a special artistic thing. And we want to be like, I saw The Revenant in the theater last year, and I don't think that movie would have been as strong had A, I watched it at home, or B, someone had turned their phone on. And also last year, I went to the theater with my friend Anthony to watch this new Star Wars movie. And at a very crucial point of that movie, which I won't spoil, someone turned their phone on. Just a little blinking light. And I don't think people realize how much that can distract you in that important moment. And people think, oh, what are the chances it'll be during an important moment? Well, I'm here to tell you, it was not good. My friend was upset when that happened. So yes, go to the movies. Go to the movies and be nice to everybody around you.
And the short answer?
Yes. I kind of short answered myself, didn't I?
That's right. That's true.
It's funny because I do it on the blog all the time.
I was so proud of myself for remembering to ask you the short answer that even though I could tell you had just given the short answer, yeah. I wanted to cue you to prove to you that I had your back even though you didn't need me having your back. Yeah. And if anything, me having your back would have probably been me not belaboring the point by asking that question.
Yeah, no, it's good because I do that on blog too. Like, for anyone who reads the blog, they know that I do that sometimes where I get caught short answer because it's like an essay or something. Then I have to make up something new at the end.
Yep.
Yeah.
Folks, you can ask Keith a question for the show or for his blog. Google Ask Keith Anything. You'll see that he has his blog on. Is it Blogspot or Blogger? I don't know the blogs.
It's Blogspot.
Blogspot.
Yeah.
You'll find it there by Googling it. And also, you know, let's do it on the show. Let's do it all. Send one for the blog. Yeah, send one for the show.
In.
Do it.
Yeah, and you don't have to say. I've had questions where people don't specifically say they want it on the radio or not. But if you want to, sure. Feel free to say, I want to hear this one on the radio.
Do it, folks. That's this week's edition of Ask Keith Anything. And now we want to try something. Earlier we mentioned that the first half of the show is sponsored by Rory Updike, local actor. And, you know, I was thinking, Keith, it kind of, when I think about when I think about what it must be like for Rory as an upstart actor, I'm reminded of our early days auditioning for community theater together. Do you remember that one time when we got caught in traffic?
Which audition was this?
Wait a minute. Are we in the present or the past right now?
Both.
Oh, my God. Hey, Keith.
Hey.
Can you believe this traffic?
It's crazy. I don't know if we're going to make it on time.
Where? Whoa.
What was that?
I think that was one of those squeeze horns. That guy doesn't even have a real horn.
That's a flugelhorn.
Flugel. Man, this traffic's looking pretty intense. I don't even know where we are. We're definitely not in Victoria anymore.
No.
It doesn't seem like we're in...
Which isn't good because this audition is in Victoria, where we grew up.
We got to get back to Victoria for the audition.
Yeah. Is this Fernwood?
I don't think this is anywhere on the island. Anyway, we've got to get to the audition, man. It's going to be a big opportunity. The awkward thing is we're auditioning for the same part.
Yeah, which has happened before. I remember one time... Sorry, are we in the past?
We're in the present.
We're in the present?
Yeah.
Okay.
But which is the past?
Right. Everyone got that? Good.
We're in.
Yeah, I've often lost parts to you because we have a similar build at this stage in our life.
That's true, we do. We're both tall,
we're both slim. Yep. The women like us equally.
Do they?
As opposed to the future, where not so much with me.
I think that they like you more now, and in the future you'll be married and off the market.
Oh, I don't know. I'm quite a... I'm quite a ladies' man.
It's interesting how much we conceptualize about the future and the past.
Why do we always do this? As soon as traffic hits...
We need to just live in the now, man.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And speaking of living in the now, we need to get to this audition.
Yeah.
There's a lot of traffic. I'm seeing people with weird fake childlike clown horns. And I don't know, man. I don't know if we're going to get there.
Yeah, we probably shouldn't have gone through India.
We are in India. Where we are. Oh, man, so even if we get through this traffic, we're going to have to fly home. Maybe we should just audition for things here.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Why would we go all the way back to Victoria when we're here now, and I'm sure there's opportunities? This is where Bollywood is, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
We should go to Bollywood. Driver, can we go to Bollywood? Yeah, Keith, he's going to take us to Bollywood.
Okay.
How do you feel about that?
Is that like a city?
I'm not sure what it is, but I think it's where we're going to secure our destiny. And if we don't do this, Keith... Are you in or are you out? Because if we don't do this, if we're not careful, we're going to fast forward 15 years just like that.
No, no.
And we're going to be doing community radio
in Vancouver. Nobody wants. Of course I'm in.
All right.
It's Bollywood, this mofo.
We better. So you ready to dance? Can you dance? Can you sing?
I can dance and sing. I'm a double threat in that regard.
You are the double threat.
Yeah. Is that a thing?
You're the double threat. I'm the single threat. Together we are
a triple threat. Mm-hmm. Which in Bollywood, they call it something different.
They do. I don't know what they call it, but we'll figure that out in
due
time.
We're
going
to learn, yeah.
Oh, I think the traffic's clearing up. No.
No,
no,
it's
no
just
that
more
was overly
horns.
Ambitious. There's just more people are honking their childlike
traffic. I don't understand why there aren't any traffic lights or any sense of order
to
this.
It's chaotic here.
How does anyone drive in these areas?
You know what? Let's just go home and resign ourselves to our fate.
Okay, are we going to the future?
Let's go to the future.
I bet I'm not married.
And release. Folks, you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. I'm your host, Jeff Bryant. This is Now We're Talking. Today on the show, we had the chance to speak with Jennifer Bradley. She's a voiceover actress based in England. And we had the chance to talk to her about this ridiculous situation she finds herself in, where she now has to pretend to be American. So if you want to, you missed that. If you're tuning in now and that sounds enticing, you missed it. It's over now. However, you can listen to the podcast version of this radio presentation after the fact by going to CITR.ca and find the show. The show's called Now We're Talking, and you can listen to this week's episode as well as all of our episodes, all of them.
Yeah.
This is episode 3, for full disclosure.
Yeah.
But don't be deterred by the fact that this is episode 3, because Keith and I have nowhere else to be.
No.
And that's the truth. So we're likely to be here for years.
Yeah.
Years.
Yeah. I have a parking pass.
He's got the parking pass. You know, we've got access to sound cues. We have a razor sharp ability to do improvisational comedy.
Booyah.
And I do say that loosely.
Booyah.
But I did say it nonetheless. So what else are we doing? We did the Ask Keith Anything, old Ask Keith Anything this week.
Yep.
And what else do we want to do? We want to talk about, do you want to do the top five?
Yeah, let's do the top five.
We're going to do top five. And this week's top five is the top five first world problems. This is an expression, people, I feel like this is an expression that's grown in popularity over the last, I don't know, five-ish years?
Yeah, maybe. I hadn't heard it for a long time.
I feel
time.
Like it's one of those things that probably began as a hashtag.
Oh, I don't know.
Ooh, yeah.
Is it bad that I just made that noise about hashtags?
No. No, it's not.
I'm still having trouble with people using hashtags like out loud in a normal speech.
It feels like people wrote things on Facebook or something and were self-conscious of the fact that it might be viewed as, what am I trying to say? Like a little bit much to complain about given their own circumstances.
It's like that thing where you insult someone and then laugh afterwards to soften the blow. Hashtag soften the blow, yeah.
And so somebody probably put a hashtag and said first world problem.
Yeah. No,
and then people
viable.
Started saying it conversationally. Anyway, so we're talking, what are the top five first world problems? I think number five, I have a problem with people using the expression first world problems.
Yeah.
For me, that is number five. And that is a first world problem.
Yeah.
When you
for
think
sure.
about it, because if you're in the third world, you probably aren't worried about people's use of that, A, because they don't do it, and B, you've got bigger fish to fry.
Yeah. Well, there they have third world problems.
They have third world problems.
Which is a separate list entirely.
Do you think it's a problem in the third world, people saying hashtag third world problems?
I bet it is, but it's like way less funny.
Yeah, it's not funny at all.
It's like, you know,
it's an actual problem.
A lot of flies in my mouth. Like third world problem.
Hashtag blood loss. Hashtag where's the hospital?
Yeah.
Hashtag
parasites in the river.
Yeah, real problems. Yeah. So here it's sort of this cute little joke, and there.
Yeah,
it's,
and I get what you're saying about that. The whole thing.
That's number five for me, right there. That's my.
No, I get that because I think also it's just identifying a first world problem. Like, we don't want to seem insensitive by talking about those sorts of things, and so to complain about, oh, it's a first world problem. Like, this is our reality, and mm-hmm. sometimes it's okay to have a problem with something. It's not like you're necessarily blowing out of proportion because you complain about something. So I think it's okay. It's okay to have problems in your life. It's okay to need to complain.
So that's my number five for sure.
That's good.
That's number five on our list of top five first world problems. For me, it's the use of this expression, first world problems. That's my first world problem. What's number four?
Gonna go with everything bagels.
And then what is that?
So it's like, you know how there's bagel flavors, mm-hmm. like onion and cheese and
cinnamon raisin. That's what I choose. I always choose that.
I don't want raisins in my stuff, man. I don't know why you got to bring it up on the radio.
But when you get everything bagel, you're compelled to do it. Is that the idea?
Well, the everything bagel is just everything. I don't think it has raisins usually, but it's like...
Well, then how can they say it's everything?
Well, that's another top five list.
Everything bagel, asterisk, no raisins.
How dare you, foodstuffs, sex segment.
You're not kidding. It's not on the everything bagel?
Yeah.
That's
weird. This kind of blows up my whole thing, but let's pretend everything's on there.
Yeah, everything's on there.
Seeds and like, you know, it's got the poppy seeds and the sesame seeds. And I remember thinking, the reason it's on this list is because it's funny to think that it's problematic to have too much food. It's like, when I have an everything bagel, I turn it over to put the cream cheese on, and like seeds fall off on the floor.
That's a first world problem.
Yeah, I'm bringing it to the table and it's just making a mess. And the fact that what I'm spilling that I'm annoyed at could probably
feed, so much food.
It could probably feed a family in the third world.
Your spillings.
Yeah, just the stuff that's falling off of that. I've often thought that was a good excuse if someone comes over to your house and you haven't tidied up, you can just be like, it's okay, I bought everything bagels.
The first world problem is it's just so much food. You can't even eat it because it's spilling over everywhere. It gets stuck in the carpet.
It's just the fact that shouldn't having too much food should never really be a problem.
Yeah, that is a first world problem.
Yeah.
How come you never hear about the second world? There's the first world and the third world.
Oh.
I never really hear about this. We should create a new hashtag, second world problems.
It's Middle Earth.
Middle Earth problems. But you know what I'm saying? Have you ever heard, like, do you know a second world nation?
I don't even know
nation?
What the second world is.
Exactly. Middle world. So we should create a new hashtag, second world problems, and they're problems that are problems.
But they're just not so bad?
They're not so bad, but
like,
they're not
I'm
so
gonna
great.
Need new shoes. I'm going to need new shoes this year.
Yeah, second world problems.
Like,
you should try that.
This asparagus is slightly undercooked.
Second world problem.
That's probably
like
a first world problem.
If you're just tuning in, we're reviewing the top five first world problems. Number five for me, just the use of the expression. Hate it. I don't like it.
Yeah, it does.
I don't like it when people
implies
use
some
it.
Negativity.
I don't like it. And yet we're doing this list. Number four, everything bagels. What's number three?
I'm thinking, this is very personal to me, but you know when you're at a traffic stop and you've pressed the button and you're waiting and then someone sort of comes...
Lingering.
Yeah, they come to also cross the street.
Okay.
And so they don't trust that you've pressed the button. And so they sort of get into your personal space, or even if they don't get into your personal space.
But I am that guy.
They reach over and press the button. That's funny because I know that about you.
I am that guy.
Yeah,
you don't trust, right? For me, it's like it's also in an elevator. If you assume that somebody's pressed the button, but I guess I'm thinking if they press the close button in the elevator.
Oh.
same thing at the crosswalk, though. Where it's implied that they must have pressed the button. I don't know that. Yeah. I don't know if this person is a passive individual. And so for me, I'm going to err on the side of redundancy by pressing the button again. The problem is that it's kind of can be viewed as a slight to that
yeah,
person.
Well,
you don't think I'm good enough to press the button?
We're on both two opposite sides of this issue because if you did that to me, I'm thinking, what are all the factors here? There might be someone across the street. They probably pressed the button.
Yeah.
Right? Like, what am I doing? Why would I be standing here if I'm not going to be crossing the street in a second? So, and then, like, it is kind of insulting. Like, what am I, not know how the button thing works?
And the irony is, in the third world, they don't have buttons.
Yeah, no button. Well.
Or maybe they do, but they just don't work as well.
Yeah, or their fingers don't work as well because of malnutrition or something.
Lack of fingers.
Yeah.
Okay, that's number three. Number two. Top five first world problems. Number two. This Copa America thing.
Yeah. I wanted to talk about that again. We
mentioned it a couple of weeks ago, but there was Euro Cup is still happening. Copa America is over. They're happening at the same time. That was a problem for you.
Big time.
Not just because it's happening at the same time, but it wasn't available for your consumption on the TV.
Yeah, so this is a first world problem because obviously there are greater problems in the world. Like, than trying to find out how to get access to a TV show. I'm so privileged that I was angry that it wasn't easy for me to just pick up my plastic little remote and press the appropriate button and have it, you know, blare to life in front of me.
Blare to life.
Yeah.
It sounds like a guy named Blair running for office.
Well, it's Blair from The Facts of Life I was trying to reference. So just like tomboying it to life.
Yeah,
oh, no, there you was go. That Blair? No, Blair was the I don't remember who
I
was
I can't
who.
Remember who was who.
I remember who Tootie was, though.
They were all delightful, though,
yeah,
I'm sure.
They were.
It's been a long time. Well, that's true. And for you, actually, it was the case that you discovered you're able to watch it on the internet,
yeah,
but you'd have to pay.
Oh, yeah. It was ridiculous.
It was difficult.
It really
expensive.
Made me feel like I was in the Twilight Zone because I had to pay like $15 pay-per-view to watch a game of soccer.
Yeah.
Just had, you know, where would you have to do that other than the third world, if it's even an option?
That's a good number, too. If this was the top five second world problems, I'd put that on I'd make that number one.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's how annoying that is to me. I'd make that number one if it was
second world problems. We're going to get like 15 second world problem questions now.
Yeah, that's true. And here we go. Number one. What's number one, Keith? Top five first world problems. What's number one?
Okay, well, if the other one was personal, this is even more personal to me. I'm going to say it this way, and then I'll qualify it a little. But I basically got angry at the girl at Safeway at the deli for cutting my prosciutto too thick.
How angry? What did you do?
Well, I didn't. That's where I have to qualify.
Internally.
All I did was think to myself, oh, come on. You know, like it's prosciutto. You got to eat it.
It was cut too thick.
It's cut too thick.
Better too thick than too thin, though, right?
Well, no, because it's so, you really cut it really paper thin prosciutto.
That's the way you want it.
It's almost too hard to cut.
You don't have a cutter at home that can cut it that fine.
No.
It needs to be cut with an industrial counter.
So, I mean,
cutter.
Yeah, it has to be the one at the store.
Cutter counter.
And so with most deli meats, it doesn't really matter. It's going to be within a certain thing. But when you have prosciutto too thick, it's also kind of expensive. So what I did was I sort of went, how thick is that? While she was weighing it. My sort of passive way of approaching it. And then she showed me, and I realized in that moment, I'm not the kind of guy who's going to be like, you really messed up, lady. I just went, okay. But okay. In saying okay, I didn't quite manage to be, oh, that's fine. I sort of showed that I was displeased.
Could she have taken that piece and cut it?
No.
Because it's too small to cut recut?
She would have had to do it all over again, which I wasn't prepared.
And then there's the possibility of food waste. Which is
a third world problem. Yeah, it is a third world problem.
Right?
We're at number one. You can't throw us off now.
All right,
this has to be a first world problem.
That's
so
true.
So anyway, no one's feelings were hurt too badly, and I'm sure there's much more. I mean, I've heard them get terrible people saying horrible things to them, and I'd like to think that I didn't register in the world that she has. I hope she had a good day and that my little harumph didn't bother her. But I felt pretty bad afterwards, and that's why this registered as a first world problem, because to have made her feel bad in any way
over the thickness of
my friggin' prosciutto.
That's good, Keith. Yeah. I'm glad you have this perspective. Folks, that's this week's version of Top 5, and this week we did the Top 5 First World Problems. And number 5 for me, I'm not going to review all of them. I'm just going to emphasize number 5 for me right away was just the expression itself. Even though we're using it here in this case,
mm-hmm,
I hate it when people use that expression.
Mm-hmm.
Say second world problems just to confuse people.
Yeah, that's more interesting.
Just to throw them off.
Yeah, and then say arbitrary things like my alligator shoes aren't polished enough.
Arbitrary second world problems.
Arbitrary second world problems.
We're getting near the end of the show. We've still got some time, but thank you for tuning in this week. I'm here with Keith, as always. My name's Jeff Bryant. We've got some more time, and Keith, I want to talk to you about spiders. Because
what?
I know that you have a fear of spiders, arachnophobia.
Yeah, I do.
I don't like spiders either. I haven't encountered them for a long time. Just, I guess, the apartments I've lived in there. I haven't encountered any spiders.
Oh, that's nice, man. That's nice for your perfect little life there.
But you married a woman.
Yes, I did.
Am I right so far? You married a woman.
Yes, I did.
Who has a fear,
uh-huh,
of spiders. And you have a fear of spiders,
yeah,
which means entering the marriage, you're already setting yourself back a little bit.
Oh, our life was over. It was a terrible match.
It was.
Yeah.
How did that play out?
Well, it's ridiculous. I mean,
I know you have a lot of chestnuts in your house.
I do. I don't know if people out there know about this, but there's a sort of an old wives' tale, which may be totally true.
It's ironic that it's an old wives' tale, and yet your wife is of no use when it comes
to
spiders,
true,
right?
Yeah. There's an idea. It's supposed to be a chemical reaction thing that, like, spiders don't like what chestnuts smell like. So you put like a, you punch a holes in with a fork and you put them in areas where.
In the corners.
Yeah, in the corners. But I put them all over my house like a crazy person.
And not just one or two. I've seen like.
Oh, I've had.
Like 20.
Yeah, dozens at times.
So what was it like initially? You moved in together. You know, you're sharing your life with this woman. You're both terrified of spiders. What happens when there is a spider and something needs to be done?
Well, first of all, I just, before I get into that, I'd like to mention that I have had spiders in my house recently, and big ones, and maybe this is because I'm
wolf
afraid.
Wolf spiders?
Well, I had a spider the other day that, like, the first thought, okay, first of all, it didn't move. It didn't move and draw my attention. It was just sitting in the middle of my living room, and I thought it was a mouse. And my first thought, the first thought I had was, I would be willing to emigrate to get away from this spider. I was surprised that
he, to the second world.
Yeah, I would, yeah, exactly. I was surprised he didn't have a deed with him. He was so big. Like, there's no way someone that big should just be there unless they have like ownership of the place. This is an honest to God thought that I had when I saw this spider. I thought, if this spider came to my door to take my 18-year-old daughter to prom, I'd just be like, yeah, just take her. Just whatever,
just have her.
Whatever spider stuff you want to do is fine. Just go ahead.
Do your spidery stuff with my daughter.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, me and my wife, we realized very quickly that this was a problem because neither one of us were spider killers, which is sort of what you need.
Yeah, you hope that somebody, like, if it's me, I want to climb up on a chair and scream and indulge in my fear.
Yes.
While somebody else makes it go away.
Exactly. Now, neither one of us are big. She's a huge fan of animals. I think they're swell too, and we're not big fans. Obviously, instead of killing it, it would be great to take it outside or something. But because we're too afraid, I had to evolve into becoming a spider killer. But what we did was we went to the bug zoo in Victoria at the time.
Okay, right.
And so we held insects. We went there and
put a little bit of aversion therapy here.
Yeah, put insects in our hands to try to get better because we wanted to overcome this. It seems silly. And what happened was when we got to the spider part, it was a tarantula, like a yellow-knee tarantula.
No, really?
Yeah, really.
Because when you say bug zoom, like, oh, okay, good for you.
Oh, they
you
had
play
all
with
kinds
some bugs,
stuff.
But they actually had
a
tarantula?
Yeah, they had millipedes and all kinds of stuff, yeah.
Okay.
So Nancy's really brave. She sticks out her hand, and they put this tarantula in her hand. And because it's furry.
I could never do that.
It's furry. It moves slow. There's a little bit of your body that says, hey, this is a bug. But it's kind of furry, and it's like an animal.
It can move so quickly.
And so it started to move off of her hand. And I saw her get scared.
Ooh.
Because she wasn't sure what was going to do. And then I instinctively, because of love, put my hand next to her hand to give it somewhere to walk. And it walked into my hand. And there was a moment of magic where I went, this isn't so bad. And then it turned and started walking up my wrist. And I went, get this off me. And
to be clear, is this in like a container?
No,
where
no.
It's just your arm
out in the
container?
No, out
anything
the
can happen.
Yeah. Right out in the open. So to this day,
did love then? What did love do for you?
I don't
you?
Remember. I think Nancy fled. I think I screamed.
She fled the bug
yeah,
zoo.
We didn't learn anything.
Nothing.
No. To this,
so it seemed like it was going to be a huge like turnaround moment.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it was all for naught.
For the love, great. For the getting over the spiders, not so much.
Well, there you go, Keith. It's that time of the show where we're gonna sit next to this campfire.
Ooh.
And we're gonna review what did we learn this show. And folks, once again, if you're just tuning in. Even if you've been tuned in the whole time, I'm going to say it. You're listening to Now We're Talking, hosted by myself, Jeff Bryant. Keith Kennedy's in studio, as always, here on CITR 101.9. We've got a couple minutes left. We want to sit by the campfire and reflect. What have we learned this week, Keith?
We learned that Jen has a delightful accent.
She does.
But you don't necessarily need to know which one of her accents is the real one, I guess.
Yeah.
And maybe...
It's funny because we talk so much about it, but we never actually really heard the American accent.
No. Just like we talked about my Newfie accent, never heard the Newfie accent.
That's true.
Moving on.
okay. Yeah,
we
good
also,
point.
We also learned that, yes, go to the movie theater. Even though it can be difficult and it's easier to get it at home, there is magic there. And commitment of time and money does make you feel more involved in a way that you can't get at home, and especially not on your little screen on your phone.
And there's table service.
Oh, yeah. They go to the VIP theaters.
If you pay extra.
Yeah, I highly recommend that, in fact. I use my points for that.
So make more of a night out of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and spend the money on the food and yeah, enjoy it. I mean, it's not going to be there forever.
Okay. There you go. What else?
We got our first world problems, but more importantly, I think we discovered that we need to look deeper into what a second world problem is.
Yeah, we need to figure out what a second world problem is and bring that to the table moving forward. We also talked about how Rory Updike sponsored the first half of the show. He's available for bookings.
Yes.
His schedule is completely open.
Yeah.
So the good news is if you know that you want to make use of him, don't worry about comparing your schedules.
Yeah.
He is.
He'll be there.
He's definitely available.
You bring his phone, he'll show up at your doorstep almost immediately. We promise.
He'll show up a lot faster than you'd imagine would be possible.
Yeah.
Regardless of where you live in Metro Vancouver. What else? We talked about...
spiders?
Spiders. We just talked about spiders.
I don't appreciate.
No.
I don't want to be negative, but...
You almost had...
Not cool, man.
...an epiphanous experience with your wife where love almost conquered all.
Love almost conquered spiders.
But ultimately did not conquer anything.
Yeah, love can conquer hate. Make no mistake, everyone out there. Love can conquer hate. It just... Spiders, ain't nothing can conquer spiders.
Well, that's pretty much what we learned this week, folks. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Now We're Talking. We'll see you next week. The show airs every Sunday at 6 o'clock.